At Valvoline Instant Oil Change, we perform an 18-point maintenance check with every oil change to help make sure you're good to go.
And?
You're good to go. We'd let you know if we found something in our check. Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Thorough and honest, come with no charge.
Welcome to White Rabbit Podcast with Catalyst Jones, where your reality might be challenged. So leave your feelings at the fucking door and let's dive down some rabbit holes.
Liberal advisory. Truthful content.
Lizard Illuminati.
A new world order.
Kyle. Sex.
Excuse me.
That was a joke about the world being flat, right?
Was it?
When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order.
They sound crazy, but it could totally 100% be true because we know the government's lies about every single thing.
Junkies to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones, and as it's cold as fuck outside, I'm gonna be bringing the fucking heat to your earbuds right now because I have on one of my favorite motherfuckers from around the way, all the way from New York. We have my man Nick from the Occult Rejects. What is going on, brother?
What's going on, sir? Thank you very much for having me on again. It's always a blast.
Thank you. Bro. I've been so excited to show you this. I ordered online and I thought it was going to be a fucking joke, right? But I ordered the Cloak of Invisibility. It was like a Harry Potter thing. Check this shit out, bro. Watch this.
Oh, well. Oh shit.
Is it a green screen cloak?
It's just a green blanket, bro.
Yeah, so I was like, wait, you can do that with a green screen cloak. Yeah, for a second though. I was like, what the fuck?
So what's going on, brother? You have been hitting the airwaves hard lately, and I ended up on a couple of shows with you recently, and we had talked about jumping on here and talking about your magic a little bit more in depth, and I'm pretty fucking excited, and I'm here for it.
Thanks. Yeah, I went on a fuck ton of shows, actually, to talk about kind of like the abyss and my experience and the eclipse, and then I had one show that kind of wanted me to like cover a little bit of like ritual stuff. And I was like, oh yeah. So I was like thinking of that, like, so now I'm going to be covering that on a few shows. And I definitely wanted to, you know, talk to you about it, but yeah, it's kind of like, I wanted to show, I just think for the average people, especially, I mean, listen, even in the occult community, depending on what they're into, the conspiracy community, I don't think they really have an idea of like what actual rituals are. This is, you know, my opinion. Or the average ones that would be used by most secret societies that they know of. If there's like a checkered floor in the place, the odds are they probably do utilize the rituals that I will be covering today, or at some point they do.
No.
Well, it's all Kabbalistic. You know, if they have a checkerboard floor, I just, you know, even if people don't realize it, there is probably Kabbalistic value.
I am never going to Baskin Robbins again. Fuck that.
Oh, fuck. Shit. I didn't mean that. Yeah, right. No, but like a secret society, yeah, if their temple has a checkerboard floor, odds are, like, just like the Freemasons, the OTO, you know, Golden Dawn, all those places, they do probably acknowledge these rituals at some point because it's they're, you know, tied to like the Kabbalistic stuff as well.
I've been in a couple of Masonic lodges, and every single one of them had a checker floorboard. There was like a banquet thing where we would rent it out sometimes for things, and there was no checkerboard in there, but it was really just a fucking room. There was nothing to it. It's just like a office carpet, you know?
Yeah, it was probably very bland.
Nothing, yeah. Just bare walls and gray office carpet.
Yeah, everything that you'd end up decorating with would probably be more specific for what you're doing. So when you're not using it, might actually be a very like empty and nothing to it.
So I was getting into some rituals with my guest who I was just talking with you about before we started recording yesterday. And we were talking about the various degrees of rituals that could take place from something as simple like a ritual to help get your friend out of jail to a massive ritual like we see on the world stage, like the Super Bowl halftime show like we just saw, right? And he was talking about we're on the lower level, the bottom level of the realms, or man, I'm going to butcher the fucking shit out of this. But anyways, when you're summoning things, they have to come down to our level and they're not always happy about it. So you're not always going to get what you want. I agree with that. And anyways, I was just throwing that out there because you were saying, you know, like a lot of the people in our circles wouldn't even know what a ritual looks like. And so there are I was just pointing out the variousnesses of it. You know, you could potentially say a ritual to get out of a ticket or, you know, take it as far as a massive world ritual.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know what, that's actually, it's kind of like the way I'm trying to present this, it's in a few ways. One, I don't think people will realize how detailed they can get and how plain they are at the same time, as crazy as that sounds. There'll be a lot of associations that you can use in it to kind of set up the scene and your altar and all that stuff. But then everything else is really specific to the practitioner, to where just the ritual itself, you'd be like, that's it. So I think like that might be, you know, surprising to some people, or just to even like give people an idea of like, I guess what it looks like. This is a lot of, you know, not saying that there's tons of different ways to do rituals. It's just like a lot of times, like I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it. I'm not trying to even be nasty about it. You have a lot of people that have never stepped into a lodge or ever been in a ritual telling people that this is one.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, well, so I figured maybe I actually cover a few rituals so people know what they look like instead of just, I don't know. You know what I'm trying?
I'm here for that.
No, it's just like, how do you know that boxing match was a third degree Mason initiation unless you've gone through one?
Correct. I'll tell you how I know. Tell you how I know, because there's internet sleuths out there that tell me so.
That's it. Exactly. So, now when it comes to doing like ritual work for me, obviously you have to figure out what you want to do. And again, even when I was a beginner, sometimes I think I did rituals on just like basic silly stuff just to practice, or I would do the rituals and just do meditation and I actually wouldn't do like really anything specific. But you have to, like, I guess you could think of a reason or an intent. What do you want to gain? At that point, like, let's say I'm just going to go run with this. And, you know, it's just easy for people to probably understand this way. Let's say like you're something with work, you want to somehow like either get promoted or make more money somehow. Let's say you're a salesman. This will make it really easy. You're a salesman and you want to make sales. So you're going to think about like, you know, how can I change that? And then you're going to think about like, you know, how will I approach this ritual? Do I want to do it with like elements? Do I want to do it with like Kabbalistic stuff, planetary stuff, gods? You have to start like figuring out like how am I going to approach this? So like just right there, before you even approach it, that's going to even determine what kind of style it probably will look or go with. So many different ways though. I mean, I could just work with planets. I could just work with zodiacs, you know, elements. Again, like I said before, it's spheres from the Kabbalah tree. I'm going to go with, if I'm working kind of with the sphere of the Kabbalah tree, which will also be associated with a planet. So I'm going to kind of use a planet and Kabbalah at the same time as I go forth, just to give examples. So I'm like, all right, because that's how I normally did most of my stuff. I was very big into Kabbalah. So
that style is more or less of alignment of energies and intent, right? Rather than pulling in an extra helping hand. Is that correct?
Well, it's for me, it was just probably a different way that I would approach it. Yeah. In a sense, I would be, sometimes it's more of like, I'm trying to just contact that idea, or believe it or not, like that idea of God in that sense, if that makes any sense.
It makes as much sense as it can to me. Like I told you a couple weeks ago, like I'm such a noob when it comes to rituals and magic and stuff like that. I was like, the extent of my knowledge is the shit books that I've read from Aleister Crowley, which is very hard to digest.
Yeah. My opinion, most of his stuff will not make sense until somebody actually crosses the abyss. I think his stuff is kind of meant for people who've had that experience. That's a whole other topic. But to maybe make your question more understandable too, the reason why I'm also would be using the Kabbalah, I want to make this specific too. I'll be using the Hermetic Kabbalah, really. Kabbalah itself is much more of a traditional Hebrew, you know, Judaism stuff. The Hermetic Kabbalah is where you start bringing in all the associations. Like I mentioned, I'd be using a planet. The reason the planet would even be associated with that sphere on the Kabbalistic tree is because of the Hermetic idea of Kabbalah, which now starts adding symbols. It will add plants. It will add crystals that go along with that sphere. The Hermetic starts assigning much more associations to it than just the regular Kabbalah on its own. That's now, much more.
Do you speak in Hebrew or any of the ancient languages when you're performing these rituals, or is English just fine?
No, some of the ones, the one that I won't be covering today, which I could come back and do on your show, I'll just be totally honest with you, I haven't done it in a long time. And since it's in Greek, that would take me a minute to actually spit out, you know, good enough for me to be okay with. The first two, the two that I will do on the show, the first one for sure has Hebrew in it. And I think the second one might actually too, but yeah, it'll be using Hebrew in one of them.
Now, why is that important?
Because it's tied to Kabbalistic stuff. Like even one of them, you start off doing the Kabbalistic cross. So in my opinion, if you're trying to touch on certain things in Kabbalistic ideas or schools of thought, or even, I'm not going to do it on the show, but when you do these rituals, when you say certain names, like the angels or God names, you're supposed to vibrate them like to almost exhaustion. I do think there's something up with that. You might be creating an energy or something just from the sound you're creating, even within yourself. Even I think it's more of, besides it projecting, I do think even resonating within oneself is important.
Okay. So how, what are we going to get into first here? And my listeners need to do a prayer or something?
No. If anything that I will do when I get to it, it will be banishing. It's only just to remove like influence of energies. That's it. I'm not invoking anything. And I'm not actually really, I'm just doing the bare bones of the ritual. That's the whole other thing. And when you hear these rituals, you'll probably be like, oh, wow, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Because the rest is all up to the practitioner. So it's like, you know, these things are kind of, you can go any way you want with them. You know what I'm saying? It's really so specific to the person using it. But again, to get into it, again, let's just say I'm a salesman. So my idea is I'll probably use Mercury and I'll use Hod, which is a sphere on the tree of life for the Kabbalistic tree. So now once I have an idea that I'm going to use that, I want to kind of give people the idea of like even setting up the altar and how am I even going to do this? Now I'm like, all right, what can I use from that? Again, Mercury is associated with that. There's the number 8, which now I can use like anything with like an 8, or I could even use the infinity sign, maybe even the magician card because it has that on there. If I wanted to put the tarot card on my altar, then that gives me a bunch of different colors. When it comes to the Kabbalah, when you want to start using the Hermetic Kabbalah, every sphere has 4 colors associated with it. So I could use now violet purple. I could use orange. I could use red rouge. Or I could use a yellow brown with like white spots in it. That's called flecked. That is something that they'll use too. Plants will be associated with that. So now if I want to start making my own incense, I could start looking up the herbs that are associated with Mercury, the oils. What is that stuff called? Incense when it's like a grain. It's not actual herb. But like you can use that like frankincense and myrrh. That stuff comes in it's like a tar sense or whatever. You know, you can start choosing all those different things to put on your altar. Then there's gods that could be associated with that sphere. Like one of them would easily, just again with Mercury, obviously Mercury, Hermes, Thoth. I was much more associated with Egyptian gods. So I had, I did have a small statue of Thoth. I would put him on my altar if I was using Mercury or Hode. So like you can even start like using symbolism like that with those gods, or you could start making like sigils with their names if you want, which I'll get into that too. There's archangels that are associated with every sphere. So if you want to start using an angel instead, there's certain ones that you know you can use for that idea that you're trying to reach. So basically you have all these things and it's like, all right, well, what can I do with this? For me, sometimes if I wanted to, even the altar cloth, the color that I'm used, I'd probably put orange down because I'm going to use it for Mercury. I might even use a light bulb that in the room that I'm using. If I'm using any light at all, I might actually, believe it or not, I had different color light bulbs. I would use the color according to the sphere.
Does the material of the cloth that you're going to be using on the altar matter?
I've heard some people, this is interesting if it's even real. I have thought about this before. If you want to start mind fucking yourself about what you're actually doing, if I've made a talisman and I'm invoking energies and I'm trying to charge that talisman, and now when I'm, you know, so now everything's, you know, supposedly in that talisman. When I go to finish everything that I'm doing, I'm going to banish everything that I just did to remove out of the area. Now, if that talisman is still in my circle, am I just going to undo everything I just did? Think about that. If you really want to start thinking about that, I've heard people say, oh, if you cover the talisman with silk, that doesn't happen. So I guess like, you know, silk just destroys Thoth or Horus or, you know, fucking whoever else you're working with. So like maybe there is something to it or maybe there isn't. But that's a good question, because I even do question at some point the validity of these rituals in general.
Well, I mean, and if you fuck them up, you could potentially do the opposite of what you intended to do.
That is true. Yes, yes, yes.
You know, you're trying to get more sales and you could end up getting fired on your way to work, you know, like...
You don't even make it in. Yeah. But no, that is a good question. I have heard some people mention certain things, but I never got into that deep with like the type of cloth that I was using. I probably did. I did at one point have a silk cloth that I did wrap around the talisman. I just went with the whole idea, but I don't know if like there was any validity to that.
Yeah. I was halfway expecting you to say it has to be like wool, cotton or silk.
Yeah, no, I have heard of silk. That's even like another thing I've heard. This is something I hear from witches a lot. If you're going to banish your house, you're going to walk around with sage, you know, whatever you're using, or you got to make sure you open up the windows so they can leave. I'm like, well, how the fuck did they get in? The windows had to be open. So when I just did a ritual before and I invoked Thoth, that motherfucker couldn't get in because of fucking glass. This almighty God that was there to watch the universe come into existence is fucked by a piece of glass. Get the fuck out. Come on.
Well, I mean, that.
So none of my rituals work until I open up a window.
Yes. Okay. I see where you're going with that. But I also see, you know, you like pour sand in a circle so that it can't be broken, that type of a thing. Right. Yeah. And if these entities aren't welcome into your home unless you invite them, I would have to assume that, yeah, you would have to invite them. Right. Unless they attach. There's attachments all the time. I mean, all of us probably have multiple attachments going all at once.
I suggest to just open up the windows just to air out the house and change the energy. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I don't know if that's like the end all be all. Yeah, that's the deciding factor.
No, but that is funny.
Yeah, I've thought of that before. I'm like, so everything else I've done before.
So this all powerful being can't get through. He can't figure out the fucking window.
He can't just go through glass. I mean, the sunlight does.
I mean, ghosts can go through walls, but this motherfucker can't go through the window.
Yeah, right. You just say like sometimes some of the things I guess we think of in the occult community. I'm like, yo, we mind fucking shit. Like, is this getting silly now? Like, I don't know. Maybe there's something behind it. Who knows?
But I also think it's how much validity you put behind it, right? Because you always talk about the intentions of the magician.
I believe that too. I believe that too. Yes. Yeah, I do think people have the powers to start doing that as well.
What the shiza is up, my fellow conspiracy junkies? Seriously, though, have you guys checked out charismictruestore.com yet? If you haven't, stop what you're doing right now and go check it out, because I am telling you guys right now, if you're looking for truther gear, this is the place that you want to be. I like the store so much that I made this little jingle for it. So, hey, yo, DJ Don't Exist, play that track I like. Biatch! Let's go!
Welcome to the truth. Welcome to the light. Flat Earth revelations. Everything's alright. Clothes that fit your vibe. Medallions shining bright. Stand for what you believe. Join the truth tonight. Charisma Truth Store.com. Trend. Join us, bring a friend. Realize the simplicity beyond the world's complexity. T-shirts and accessories, truth in every piece. Step into the story, claim your cosmic peace. Charisma Truth Store.com. Speaker of the truth, so come. Promo code KJO10. Get your gear again and again. Join us, bring a friend. Realize the simplicity beyond the world's complexity. T-shirts and accessories, truth in every piece. Step into the story, claim your cosmic peace. CharismaTruthStore.com. Speaker of the truth, so come. Promo code KJO10. Get your gear again and again. And again.
Yeah, with this, like, even now, even with this ritual now, before I even get into it, now I'm going to start looking at, like, all right, if I'm a salesman, I'm just going to go with, like, how I would probably do this. But there is tons of different ways you could do it. I would probably, like, do a talisman. And now a talisman would be something that would kind of be, it'd be like a sigil or artistic design of things on a piece of paper. I would probably make it circular, like a sigil. And what you're going to do is eventually, like, well, first off, this is all I'm going to cover is just the banishing to clear the area. Basically, you look at it as that you got a dirty plate. You want to go rinse it off and clean it off, have a clean slate, nothing on there, you know, just everything removed. And then makes you can sense. Start going. Yeah. Or if it's like a painter, like if somebody's like, the guy doesn't have any more shit left and he's just going to repaint the picture white so he can clear off the area and start all over again, you know, something like that. So yeah, that's all I'm going to cover. But like with the talisman, when I did all, after I banished everything, I would specifically invoke whatever energy or whatever thing I want to work with and try to get the idea that I have in my head with that, whatever I'm working with, and putting it into the talisman and charging it with, you know, your intent. So I'll just go over with the idea of it. If I wanted to make a talisman, I just said I could use all those different colors for different things. There will be symbols that can be, again, that I said that are associated. I can start using planetary symbols. I can start using numbers that are associated with the Kabbalah, shapes that go with it. Again, with Mercury, you know, I could use like the image of the Caduceus, you know, I could, scrolls is an image that you can use on a talisman. Even like writing stuff like a book. Now, if I wanted to gain money with this, I could say, all right, the Mercury is going to be more for like the salesman, the talking of the mouth, because speech and writing is really big with Mercury. Now, if I want to associate money with it, maybe I want to use a little bit of Jupiter, because that is abundance. And you could look at that for money as well. Even though in my opinion, I think it's more of a spiritual thing, but you can look at it as money, abundance of money. So I might want to use a little bit of both. So now I could start using some of those colors or blue and stuff, or I could start using different symbols. But, you know, what I'm getting at is that I'll have sigils. If I want to start using certain God names or even certain things that I want to write or things that I want to say, I could start now deciding to make sigils. How am I going to make the sigils?
Exactly. That's my question.
There's magic squares that are associated with the Kabbalah, which, like, if I wanted to use Saturn, since Saturn is the third sphere, Binah, on the Kabbalistic tree, it will have a 3x3 box with numbers in them. And each letter is associated with a numeric value. And you would just connect the dots. Whether what the letter is, what the value equals, you start there and just keep going. If you want to use Jupiter, that's four. That's the fourth sphere. That's a 4x4. So now you go 5x5, 6x6. They get bigger as you go down the tree. You use those magic squares. If you want, you could take a phrase and just do like sigils like people will with chaos magic. Then you could take out the vowels or you could take out the doubles. And then you just use those letters and actually just use your own artistic whatever design and create a sigil out of the letters that are left. But I mean, there's so many different ways to do it.
I would see myself creating my own. As you were explaining this to me, it was reminding me of a series of books that I used to read called Mortal Instruments, and they would tattoo the sigils into them, and it would give them different powers depending on what sigil they tattooed. Totally different from what you're saying, but it reminded me of it.
Even though, every archangel has a sigil too, so if you wanted to use archangels, they'd have one. And again, like just there's so many different things that you could start doing and start using. I mean, you can even start drawing certain plants. Like I said, you can using certain crystals. If you want to put certain crystals on your altar, you can. Oh, damn. Sorry about that.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Yeah, my bad. So now I have all that stuff. So, I mean, there's just tons of things that you could start using. Oh, candles. I'm going to use an orange candle. Because of that, because I'm using Mercury, I might even draw certain things on it. Again, I could even draw a sigil on there. I could even put the oils or herbs that are associated, if you want to start getting a little crazy like that. So, but that's a little bit more Wiccan price style than ceremonial magic. But you can, start doing things with the candle. I'm going to have the black and white candle on my altar too, again, for the Kabbalah, for the both pillars. Okay.
Can I pause you for a second? If you were to draw sigils onto the candles, as the candles are burning and it starts to burn the sigil down, is that a bad thing? Symbolically destroying the symbol or the sigil?
No, it's like that's all supposed to be like part of the rituals, like burning the candle down with all that stuff on there.
Okay. Would you carve it or use like a Sharpie or something?
I normally carved it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would carve it out. Yeah, I actually had I don't remember what it was, but I actually had like certain tools that were like used to that I would actually carve into the candle and use.
They have wax tools.
I don't remember.
I only know that because they always come up on Amazon when I'm looking for new dab tools. It's like wax working tools.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of I'm almost positive I did have them for something else, and that's what I use them for. Actually, that was even another thing. Sometimes I would use a wood burner, like one of those things, and I would actually go to, I think it was like Hobby Lobby or fuck Michael's or something like that, and get these small discs. And sometimes I would actually, if it was an angel or maybe a certain idea or something I knew I might use more than once, I would actually use the wood burning engraver and burn it into the fucking wood and keep it and reuse it.
Yeah, man. Those things are fun. I used to get stoned as fuck and just make the coolest designs in wood.
Oh, I wasn't too good at it. It took me a few tries to even like get it down okay.
That was like my introduction to tattooing, honestly, because I was
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's similar, but so you have the, you mentioned the white candles, and that's something that you use in every single ritual?
The white and black, yes.
Okay. And the white and black. So that's
That's like the pillars of the Kabbalah, and you know, kind of represents even like the checkered floor. So
gotcha. All right. So where do we go from here, sir?
All right. So now after I have like, you know, again, let's say I'm going to go with a talisman just to make this real quick. I don't not spend too much time on that stuff. If I was going to use Mercury and let's say a little bit of Jupiter, in my opinion, I'm going to now want to do the ritual on a Wednesday more than likely, which is associated with Mercury. Then there's also planetary hours. At sunrise is the hour of Mercury on the day of Mercury, and it will repeat, it's there three times throughout the whole day that it will fall on the Mercury, the hour of Mercury. Now, since I'm using Jupiter, if I want to get, you know, if I want to play around with this stuff, maybe I could do the ritual on Wednesday, the day of Mercury, but on the hour of Jupiter. And if that's the case, whatever way I'm going to do it, I will probably more than likely make my talisman on one of those hours. So let's say maybe if I have time at sunrise, it depends on how it works out. I might even have to do it a week or prior. I might make the talisman and the candle, but I'm going to make it on the day of Mercury at the hour of Jupiter and then reuse them once the ritual's done.
Okay. Cause I was wondering in the beginning, you said, you know, what am I going to use? And you're like, I'll use Mercury. And I'm like, well, how exactly are you going to use it? And now it's coming to fruition here.
Yeah. So I will pick the day and the hours. For me, I even had an app that was specific to you, like even your location. So I had that. And so, all right, let's say I got everything I want to do. Let's say I made the sigil. Let's say I was off that day on a Wednesday, and which I actually was when I was getting into magic with the schedule that I had. So let's say I would make the sigil in the morning, and then let's say in the afternoon or night on the hour of Jupiter, on the day of Mercury, I'm going to do the ritual. Prior, I'll probably meditate. I might set aside like a half hour to meditate prior to the beginning of that hour of Jupiter. And, or sometimes, believe it or not, I would even go like, just call it a ritual bath kind of. I would go like take a bath and just lay in there and actually just think about like, what am I about to do? And like my intent and how I'm going to do it. Or there has been times, there's very few times where I actually was like, you know what? I'm not going to be bothered. And maybe that's all I was supposed to do. You know, I was actually realizing this is pointless, you know, or it's not a good reason, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe my conscience changed my mind.
It's almost like the getting ready to jump in the pool or something, you know, and you don't have to, or I don't know.
Like, is this, yeah. Or you just
even an analogy, but
yeah. Or you even like start like even, well, yeah. Is it even a good idea, or is, you know, go against even some of my own morals? Yeah. There's so many different ways you can start looking at it, but yeah. So like sometimes I would even reevaluate like what I'm doing. But like I would try to normally go into a meditation if I was in the tub, and I would be sitting in a chair, probably in the same room where I would end up doing the ritual, with a flat back. I specifically found a chair with a flat back, and because I would do the God pose, which is it's a suggested form of meditation where you just sit in a chair with your back against the flat, you know, back of the chair, and your hands on your legs, kind of like your palms, like right near your knees, kind of, and then this part on your leg, you just sit there. It's real easy. It's fucking easy as pose you can do to meditate, in my opinion, besides laying down. So I ran with that a lot because it was just easy for me. And I'll sit there and I'll just like visualize like light sometimes coming down into me and just moving it up and down in my body, just trying to visualize with my eyes closed, like something coming in, or picturing myself sitting there and trying to just visualize energy going up and down, up and down. And then eventually I'll move on to like trying to like feel my chakras. And then you just go up. I'm just trying to make it real simple till I get to the ritual. But like I would end up spending time basically with my eyes closed, trying to like feel the energy, or kind of in a sense feel like within myself, and try to just make sure I can, you know, get the chakras feeling, for me when I started doing a lot of chakra work, and for people who are really big into them, I know as crazy as it sounds, you, my opinion, you can feel those motherfuckers. It is weird, but you can almost feel like a spinning ball. So I would kind of get myself to that point where I felt like I could feel like all of them up and down my body. And then I'm like, all right, I'm good to go. I'm aligned or whatever. And then I'll start the ritual. When I get to that point, there is, I normally would like probably, believe it or not, like call to God and ask him to like basically like watch over me as I like do this act or whatever. I forgot how I used to phrase it, but yeah, I mean, when I first started the ritual, believe it or not, I would always like kind of give a prayer to God, give him thanks and tell him to please watch over me as I do this most holy act or something to that effect. Then after that, I would cite the reason. And at this point, I'm already standing in front of my altar and I would cite the reason why I'm even doing it, and explain it. Because I'm using Mercury this time. I may skip this part, but sometimes because Mercury or Tahuti are associated with being a messenger to God, sometimes I would even call to him and pass that message on to give it to God as well. Since I'm using Tahuti, I probably skipped that whole part. And then basically I would state that I'm going to start the ritual.
Humanity is drunk. What the fuck is going on? They poison in the mind so we can't see right from wrong. We can't define a woman, and now women have dogs. They strip away our rights and these people cheer them on. This is modern warfare, a kind we've never seen. It's a war against man taking place upon a screen. It's a war to imprison you and take away your soul. Corrupt all men, but we say, fuck no! Had enough of the lies, had enough of deceit. Went to red pill threats and take this fight to the street. Same vibe, it wasn't just about shirts, it was a fight to survive. No more silence, hell no, no more playing it safe. If we don't speak up right now, then who's gonna speak in our place? They want a one world order, wanna spit in their face. Cause I'm not a little bitch and I'll never be the slave. So we speak in designs and we speak with our threads, not afraid to speak our minds. Took some pills, yeah they read. Had enough of the lies, had enough of deceit. Went to red pill threats to take this fight to the street. Crazy, but we weren't wrong. We stay standing ground when the sheep go along. Truth in every stitch, a message you can feel. RedPillThreads.com. Go rabbit for a deal. RedPillThreads.com. Don't be afraid to be. Silence is compliance. Promo code rabbit. Trust in God, not in science. Make your voice heard. Stand and join the fight. RedPillThreads.com. Stand up for what is right. RedPillThreads.com. Silence is compliance. Promo code rabbit. Trust in God, not science. Make your voice heard. Stand and join the fight. RedPillThreads.com.
at that point, I would probably then I would take on my altar. I am going to have incense and a charcoal burner. And that is like kind of like the stuff that you see in the Catholic Church. Even the thing I used looked very much like a something in the church. I would drop the incense on the charcoal, and it'll be like in a little golden like thing that hangs from a chain. Mm-hmm. And I would actually do the cross and go around to all four corners and do that, you know, to like cleanse. And then I did have salt and water on my altar. I had pink Himalayan salt I used to use a lot. I would throw that in the water. And then I even had the shit from the Catholic Church that stick with like a ball, and you dunk it in the water and you just go like that. And there's like a cotton ball in there that just kind of flings the water out of the holes on the end. I would actually use that to like to cleanse my circle too as I go around all four corners. So now that's done.
Hey, so then, is it true that those used to be used in the church even, but they were distributing like a psychedelic?
Oh, I have no idea. I have. What are you talking about, the incense?
Mm-hmm.
I have heard stories about people doing shit like that with incense.
I have like, too. And I've heard that it was. Yeah. And it was almost common practice, though, that they would do that in spiritual settings and use psychedelics within those balls that is emitting sage and everything else. They would put pot in there and even higher psychoactive things. If this shit that I watched is true at all, but it makes sense. If you're going in there for a spiritual reason, you're more spiritually in tuned if you're taking psychedelics. And it doesn't have to be like super strong to where you're like taking like a heroic mushroom dose or anything, but you know, just even hitting weed gets me in a state of mind where I can focus on shit a lot easier.
Oh yeah. For podcasting, like not even when I have to make shit, believe it or not, sometimes if I catch like a nice buzz. Yeah. It like puts me like I click into the zone and just like it's a lot done. It's pretty impressive, but I'm not promoting it. All right. So moving forward. All right. So
I am promoting fuck out of it. Happy Face Edibles, and you guys use promo code Rabbit and get high as fuck on your boy right here. So I'm promoting. Oh, shit.
I didn't even know that was one of your things going, man. Damn, nice, good for you.
It's brand new, and I actually have not announced it yet because I'm not sure if the website is up and running. Okay. But yeah, it's more of a full on partnership. Like I'm actually going to be giving out promo codes to my favorite creators. So
nice. I might have to check these things out.
Yes. So I am promoting the fuck out of getting.
Oh, I mean, I anyways, show. Yeah.
So a little side tangent there, but yes. So you get your cleansing.
Yes.
You're actually splashing the water on it. Okay.
Yeah. There's like little things you can say too when you go around, but yeah. So now, what I would normally do, this is how the structure would normally go with ceremonial magicians and anybody who kind of uses these styles of rituals. There is kind of like a way to do it. Now, if I want, now again, I'm eventually going to use a planetary energy and Kabbalistic ideas, which I would end up using the hexagram ritual for planetary energies in the Kabbalah. That is where I'm going to eventually end. But before that, you want to start with here before you make your way to the planets. You know, so you're going to want to banish any influence that you have here in, with the elements.
And you're just hoping that it worked? Or you don't like feel something shift or a difference in any way, a calming over you or?
There's been times that's happened for me in like theurgic stuff, and that, believe it or not, it was a lot of what I did probably like my last year and a half of magic, which is actually much more of like, I do all these rituals. I would go through the banishing and, you know, I would cleanse the circle and everything. But then like literally I wouldn't really invoke anything. I would just actually like talk to God or like do certain prayers. I really wasn't like doing all the other stuff that I used to do that stuff. And I've even had a lot of other magicians say that a lot of theurgical work that you've actually felt something with that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how I would feel about that. it might scare me to the point where I wouldn't fuck around anymore.
You can do that to a lot of people, I'm sure.
Right. But, if you are tapping into something that's powerful and you don't know what you're doing, that's a very scary thing. That's like getting behind the wheel of a fucking big ass backhoe and not knowing what the fuck you're doing and trying to pull up a septic tank.
All right. There is even one thing when I get done with the ritual too, I do also want to, I'm not saying that there isn't other stuff behind it, but I do actually think there might be some part of the eyeball in there. So we do want to add that as well. All right. So yeah, now I have that ready to go. And then, so what I was getting at was that first, what I would do is banish earth, air, wind, and fire on the planetary sense. Before I get into the ritual, I just want to let people know I would do that. And then I would do the hexagram banishing ritual, which now I'd be kind of banishing all planetary influences. And then after that, I would decide what I want to start doing. Now, since I said I was working with Mercury or Hode, I would probably invoke, I would do the invoking ritual of the hexagram and then invoke Mercury or Hode or whatever, Toth, whatever was associated with that. Then I would do that, which I'm not going to cover on the show. I'm just doing the banishing. But that's how it would be done. So first off, I'll start off with the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. And when you go to do that, you will touch your forehead and you will say Ata, which means unto thee. And then you will touch, some people touch their breast. I normally bring it down more like around kind of like my waist where my belt buckle would be. And I would say for Ata, then I would say Malkuth when I go down there. And then I would touch my right shoulder and go Vegabora. Oh, sorry, Malkuth means the kingdom. So it's unto thee, the kingdom. Then I go over and touch the right shoulder and say Vegabora. That means and the power. And then I would touch my left shoulder and say Vegadula. And that is in the glory. So
what language is that?
That is Hebrew. Okay. Ata, Malkuth, Vegabora, Vegadula. And then I would open up my hands and clasp them together and go, Le'olam, Amen. And that means to the ages, Amen. So Ata, Ata, Malkuth, Vegabora, Vegadula, Le'olam, Amen. So I would do that facing the east at my altar. Now, sometimes maybe some people step back or whatever, you know, but you're still facing the east. And then you will start drawing pentagrams. Now, depending on what you're doing, there's banishing, there's invoking, and then there's also the four elements and then spirit. So if you're just regular banishing, there is a specific way that you still have to draw that pentagram. If I'm invoking, there will be a different way I draw that pentagram. If I'm invoking air, there's going to be a different way. If I'm invoking fire, there's going to be a different way. If I'm just specifically banishing one of those are different ways. And then that technically we get into the greater hexagram ritual, which we're not doing here. But the lesser banishing ritual is just like a blanket, like I'm just going to banish everything equally. Then there is one specific way that you'll draw the pentagram, and you will do that every time when you face the four cardinal directions. So I will draw that pentagram in front of me facing the east. And then I will basically, for me, I bring my hands back to the back of my head, and then I'll put one of my foot's forward and then fling my arms forward towards the pentagram that I just drew. And you are suggested, I'm not going to do it on here, but you are suggested to vibrate to exhaustion, basically, Yad Heh Vad Heh. So I will draw that pentagram and then charge it and go Yad Heh Vad Heh. Then after I'm done, I will bring my right forefinger up to my bottom lip and do the sign of silence to show that I am done doing whatever I was doing. Then I'll stick out my hand into the middle of the pentagram and turn myself to the other direction, start facing south. And then I'll start drawing my pentagram the same way I just did it over there. And then when I go to vibrate and charge it, I will go Adonai. Same thing again, put my hand in there, turn myself around to the west. I'll draw the banishing pentagram again, and then I'll charge it, go on A-Hey-A. Then I'll turn myself to the north, again, draw everything all over again. That one, you can say Agala, which is like kind of an acronym for Ata Gabor Le'olam Adonai. I would normally just say the whole thing. I would just go Ata Gabor Le'olam Adonai instead of the Agala. That's how I did it. Then I will turn myself and find myself again in the east, facing the east again. And I'll extend my arms. I'll look towards the east and I'll say before me, Raphael, Archangel. Behind me, Gabriel, Archangel. On my right hand, Mikael, again, another Archangel. On the left hand, Uriel. For about me flames the pentagram, and in the column stands the six-rayed star. And then I will do again, Ata, Malkuth, Vegabora, Vegadula, Leolam, Amen. And you're done. That's it. Just for that. And basically what I did was banish the influences of those four cardinal directions, which are associated with the elements, and called in angels to protect me from them. That's what.
And that's going to help you get more sales?
Well, that's going to help clear out the area. So nothing is influencing what I'm about to do.
Oh, so this is still cleansing. We're still banishing.
Yeah. That's banishing. Yeah. I'm not going to get into the invoking. Yeah. That's the banishing.
Okay.
And that's it for that. And then I will go into the lesser banishing ritual of the hexagram. And that will now be to banish the planetary influences, you know, and stuff like that. And again, if I'm using the Kabbalah, I would probably, it's just easy to use this ritual to go along with it. This one's a little bit more interesting.
Are you going to be clear-headed when you go into these things?
Like I said, I spend about a half hour meditating.
Well, I mean, in a sense, like, you don't want to, do you smoke weed or anything? Like, any outside influence?
Believe it or not, it wasn't until I had practiced magic and had magical experiences prior to COVID-19. Now, I didn't start smoking weed again until that hit and everything got shut down. Because I was just like, people are fucking crazy. There's no way I can go out in there. And there's no way I could do this sober. People are nuts. So I started smoking weed again. So my whole time messing with magic in the beginning and when I had magical experience, no drugs involved.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And even I've mentioned it on your show, when I started having magical experiences, that was only with meditation. I wasn't even doing rituals.
Right. Well, I find it that I can't meditate if I don't smoke weed because my mind is so many different places. Like, just to focus on a conversation when I do podcasts, you know, I have to have my right and left hand both doing something, and or else I can't pay attention because my brain has to be consuming multiple things at once. It's fucking weird. I don't know. And it was funny too, because I was staying with my mom and dad before I moved in here, waiting for this apartment to be ready for me to move into. And she wanted me to listen to something, and it was about a half an hour long, and I put it on double speed. That's how I listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Brad, no, I actually want you to listen to this. And I paused it. And I was like, exactly. Do you want me to actually absorb and obtain this? Or do you want me to just humor you and play it at normal speed and think about something else while it's happening? Because I'll get bored. They're talking too slow.
No, I know a lot of people that actually listen to podcasts at 2x speed.
I have to, bro.
I've done that too, yeah.
Yeah, I have a fidget spinner and I left it out there, but I usually have a fidget spinner and a pen, and I always have like at least three drinks, like a water, coffee,
a tea. I do that a lot when I'm podcasting. I'll have like a coffee and another drink with me.
Yes. I have to have multiple things going on around me at once, man. It's crazy. Like, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I'm probably the craziest podcaster. I did notice Trebles Garcia was holding one of these when I was recording with him. Oh, look at that.
Nice. No, I know what that is.
It's an Organite.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So, right. Anyways, Catalyst coming through with the side busts again, getting us totally off topic.
You're good, man. You're good. You're good. All right. So, yeah. So, again, and now I would end up doing, end up banishing all the planetary influences. And for that, I would normally use the lesser ritual of the pentagram. And again, you are going to stand upright, feet together, left arm at the side, and your right arm across your body like this. Now, if you have a wand or other weapon, you'll hold it upright in the median line. Some people use wands, or like sometimes you could use a dagger use your finger. I normally just, you know, go like this or use my finger. So I would just stand there like this. And again, you're facing the east and you will go I-N-R-I, just like the thing that's on top of the cross. So you say I-N-R-I, and then you will say them in Hebrew, Yod, Nun, Resh, Yod. That's I-N-R-I, but I'm done. Virgo, Isis, Mighty Mother. Scorpio, Apophis, Destroyer. Sol, Osiris, Slain and Risen. Isis, Apophis, Osiris, E-A-O, which is I-A-O, but it's pronounced E-A-O. Now, at that point, you will start.
And Bingo was his name-o?
Yeah. That was good. That caught me off guard. Now, after that, you'll start doing like a, there is a bunch of different, even when it comes to the elements, that's another thing. If you do the greater ritual, the hexagram, one thing is that you'll actually be opening, you'll be doing certain things to show that you're either opening a portal or closing one. There's certain signs for the elements, air, fire, water, earth, basically looks like you're throwing up the fucking Hitler thing, which I find that interesting.
No, that's an Elon Musk thing. That's not a
Yeah. You actually go like that, and that's you go like that, and your other hand back a little bit, and that's the sign of Earth. It's basically what I think Ringo Starr is doing on the Beatles Help album, you know, because they're all actually doing some sort of If you were to take, I think the Earth, and then take these signs that I'm doing with the LVX, you actually have what the Beatles are doing on the album cover.
That would make sense. Oh, what about Led Zeppelin? They have sigils for their names, right?
Yes. Those are sigils for their names. They probably, and you know what the thing is? Again, you might have an idea because maybe, you know, they use the feather for one. Maybe a feather has an idea to do occult symbolism. But if they made their own specific sigils, odds are nobody's going to know what the fuck it actually totally means.
Yo, conspiracy junkies, you like garlic? Then get ready for the flavor explosion. That's Flavors of the Forest.
Let's go.
Chef Nelson's in the kitchen, got the garlic on lock. Freeze-dried magic, watch some red pills drop. From a campfire chat to a taste so real. Bigfoot breath, nah, it's the real deal. No more fake powders, just raw garlic dust. Sprinkle it on pizza, it's a flavor you can trust. They went wild for it, said put it in a jar. Now it's Flavors of the Forest, we're going hard. FlavorsForest.com, you know we bring the fire. So fresh, other brands should retire. 25% off with promo code RABBIT. You better grab it, don't you miss it, gotta have it. FlavorsForest.com, taste the forest vibe. Garlic so bold, bring your taste buds alive. 25% off with promo code RABBIT. Get the garlic magic, you won't regret it, grab it. Matt and Nelson, they started with a dream. Flavor so fresh, call it Garlic Dream Team. From the restaurant kitchen to your backyard grill. Flavors of the forest, even with your pill. Wood-fired pizza, eggs at the dawn. This garlic's got your back, you know you're not wrong. Get the jar, pop the top, and taste the seed. Raw garlic dust is the best you've ever seen. FlavorsForest.com, you know we bring the fire. Garlic so fresh, other brands should retire. 25% off with promo code RABBIT. Better grab it, don't you miss it, gotta have it. FlavorsForest.com, taste the forest vibe. Garlic so bold, bring your taste buds alive. 25% off with promo code RABBIT. Get the garlic magic, you won't regret it, grab it. From a campfire joke to a garlic revolution, Flavors of the Forest is the perfect solution. Bigfoot breath, that flavor we serve. This raw garlic magic is my motherfucking word. So grab your jar, order yours right now. Flavors of the Forest make the mother chefs bow. Garlic that's raw and it's all for you. 25% off code RABBIT, that's the move. FlavorsForest.com, you know we bring the fire. Garlic so fresh, other brands call me sire. 25% off with promo code RABBIT. Gotta have it. FlavorsForest.com, taste the forest vibe. Garlic so bold, bring your taste alive. 25% off with promo code RABBIT. Get the garlic magic, you won't regret it, grab it. Flavors of the Forest, it's not just garlic. It's a flavor journey, you're gonna love it. Promo code RABBIT, get yours now. Flavors of the Forest, make your taste buds wow. FlavorForest.com, winter flavor is no conspiracy.
Because right. It's specific to them. You know what I'm saying? But you have an idea, I'm sure, with certain things. But
the feather is an Egyptian goddess, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things with feathers. I mean,
I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Toth with writing, possibly for your feather. Mott used feathers to weigh the soul. So, I mean, there's so many different things with that. But, yeah, back to, yeah, so now we'll make...
I'll get too into it. I'm curious, so I had to look it up real quick. Hang on. A Robert Plant symbol is a feather encased within a circle representing the feather of Ma'at, the ancient Egyptian goddess of truth, justice, and blah,
wow,
blah,
I just blah, blah. I just threw that out there because I knew that the feather was used for that. Yeah, supposedly Ma'at, it's used on the scales.
Yeah. Interesting. The scales, that would make sense. And it's Robert Plant. He's a guitar player and he plays in scales.
Oh, shit. Well, wow. Scales. That's fucking crazy. I never would have looked at it like that. That is interesting.
Maybe I could be totally fucking wrong. I'm just spitballing here.
And, you know, it'd be perfect too for Mercury because Mott was Toth's chick to an extent, and Mercury is number eight, and octaves go in eight when it comes to music. So the scales and octaves would be real good for proper play.
Yeah, it would be. I was curious too, like, why a goddess, why not a god? But if it's music and it, that would absolutely 100%.
Well, that would be sound and form. So it would be the male energy being put into female form. Would be music, or it would just be one long note with no break. But the breaks, you start putting it in form. That's the feminine energy, and now you really start to create music.
And what was the guy's name? He sounded like a girl.
Yeah, that was Robert Plant who sang, actually.
Oh, it was Robert Plant was a singer, and then the guitar player, or the guitar player.
That was Jimmy Page who ended up owning Jimmy Page ended up owning Crowley's house for a minute. Yeah, and wrote "Stairway to Heaven" in there.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah.
Yeah, I was obsessed with that story, actually. And he was like, it just came to him. And then Robert Plant sat down and then the lyrics just came to him. And he doesn't even remember writing it and blah, blah, blah. And then a few years back, I found out that they actually fucking stole that song from a band that never actually made it.
I think they were known for, there's a couple of songs I think that they kind of ripped off, unfortunately.
Which fucks up the whole allure of them and the mystique about it, because I'm like, man, it was written in Aleister Crowley's house and they didn't actually write it. It just fucking came to them. And I was like super excited, and you could play that song backwards and it fucking has two meanings and you can clearly hear it saying shit. And fuck.
You know what I stumbled across recently, that I found some sort of like news article where it was like different people, a couple of different people in the music industry coming out and saying like, and then like they'd show the example and I was like, damn, I think he did. I never realized Nirvana actually ripped off a few of their bigger songs, or actually like ripped off older songs. And like, holy fuck. Yeah. I was like, God damn. And like, not for nothing, I played the guitar. I was like, yo, their music was easy enough. You really need to rip somebody off too.
Well, I was going to ask you if you play any instruments, because really there's only so many fucking progressions of chords that you can, mix up, you know. It's like a Rubik's cube. Eventually you're gonna have the same combination. And
yeah,
and
I have thought of that as well. I mean, is there also, but some is just like, I don't know, in the yeah, but yeah, that is interesting though.
Yeah, but when you just blatantly out like steal shit, you know, I can show you some examples when we get off of this podcast. It's ridiculous, some of the songs that are famous now that are like from the fucking 30s and you would never even know it.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it, because they can't even make their own shit anymore.
Yeah, I can hear it in my head, but this. One more time. It's a total fucking ripoff from a song from the 40s.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I can't even think. I can hear it. But anyways, all right, man, back to your magic. You got Catalyst trying to throw you off the track as many times as possible within, what are we, 54 minutes, and I've derailed you at least more times than 2022 was derailed.
Yeah, with chemical spills too, yeah. So now, again, like I was getting into, in this, you'll start making like signs for whatever you're saying. And I'll extend my arms like this, and I'll say the sign of Osiris slain. Then I'll drop my arm like that, look to my shoulder, I raise my arm like that, and I am technically making the sign of a swastika. And I am saying the sign of the morning of Isis. Then I bring my arms up like that, which is also where Churchill got the peace sign from Crowley. The sign of Apophis and Typhon. And then I will bring my arms closed like this, like an X. And I will say the sign of Osiris risen. And then I will say LVX Luke's, the light of the cross. And as I'm saying that, I'll go like this, LVX Luke's, the light of the cross. So I'll extend my arms open again and then bring them closed and make a cross. Then I will face the east where I was facing again. And now each direction that is associated with the plane, you know, when I start doing this, I am going to draw two triangles. They'll get drawn differently, and only one of them is actually going to make a hexagram. So now when I face the east, I'm going to draw two triangles, one and then another one starting in the middle of it, kind of, and drawing back out. So basically, for people who can't see me.
Six-sided star.
Well, it's basically one triangle on top of another one. It almost kind of looks like a tree, maybe, if you want to see it, like what it looks like drawn.
Oh, so it's not tilted.
Yeah. It's just one triangle and then another triangle just like it to where the tip is going into the triangle on top of it.
Yes, so and it does look like a tree. That's crazy because there's a snowboarding company that has that as a logo, and I always just thought it was a tree.
You never know. And then I will draw that. And then when I go to charge that one, I will say, Ara Rita. And those are, again, I don't know the full initials for all those words. But that one means one in his beginning, one in his individuality, his permutation is one. Then I will go and I will turn to the right and I will draw the earth hexagram. And then that one will actually be, I'll draw one triangle facing up and then I will draw one facing down, which now I am actually making the actual hexagram, and then I will charge that the same way, Ara Rita. And, you know, at the end of this, when I'm done, I make the sign of silence, just like I did in the other one. I will put my hands into the middle, trace myself to the next one, and then I will draw one triangle up, and then I'll draw another one underneath it upside down. So it almost looks like a reflection, as above, so below, in a sense. Or even like volume up and volume down, or channel up and channel down on a remote.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will have that. And then I will charge that, Ara Rita. That is for the air. And then I will turn again. And then I will trace one that is pointing down. And then underneath it, I will trace one that is pointing up. And even when I trace these things, they actually get traced from a specific direction as well. So I have that one. And again, it's one pointing down and one pointing up. It almost looks like a, what are those clocks with sand in them? Whatever.
An hourglass.
Yeah, an hourglass. Yeah. It almost looks like something like that. Forgive people an idea what I'm talking about. And then I will charge that.
It again. Would look so dope to do these rituals with sparklers.
Yo, that would be wild looking. That would actually be pretty fucking cool looking. So then I do that. And then I basically end it the same way I just started it. I will face the east and I will do the whole thing. I-N-R-I, Yod, Nun, Resh, Yod, Virgo, Isis, Mighty Mother, Scorpio, Apophis, Destroyer, Sol, Osiris, Slain and Risen, Isis, Apophis, Osiris, E-A-O. Again, extend my arms, the sign of Osiris slain, like a cross. Then I make the swastika, and then I say the sign of the morning of Isis. I make like that V sign with my arms, the sign of Apophis and Typhon. And I cross my arms again, the sign of Osiris slain. LVX, Luke's, a light of the cross. And then I probably, then I think I would end it with the Kabbalistic cross. And then that's it. Everything has been banished. And then after that, there's a whole bunch of other shit that you could possibly have to do now if you want to start invoking. Or if you're just going to leave it there. Some people will leave it there. And just, you know, do whatever they want to do and not invoke, actually do invoking rituals where you can do invoking rituals.
So if you just left it there, you don't mean just walk away, right?
Sometimes that's all I would do. And then maybe I'd give a prayer or I'd sit there and meditate. And then I would say I was done and that's it.
Okay. So you wouldn't actually invoke anything. It's just banishing obstacles would keep us from achieving our goal, basically.
Yeah. Basically keeping yourself clean and getting influences off of you. That's actually, believe it or not, that is doing the lesser banishing ritual, the pentagram. If you're like kind of getting into anything, they're probably going to suggest when you learn that to do that 2 to 3 times a day, just by itself, to keep yourself cleansed and to get used to doing it. That's literally, you're just going to do what I did for that lesser banishing ritual pentagram, exactly how I did it. And that's it.
Now, when you do these, are you full garb, everything?
I had either a white robe or a black robe, depending, I guess, you know, whatever I was, what I sometimes, depending on what sphere I was working with, whatever pillar they fell on. If I was using, let's say I was working with Hode, it's going to fall on the black pillar. I might use a black robe. If I was using Chesed, which is Jupiter, that would fall on the white pillar. Maybe I'll use my white robe.
Now, if you were fully in, like trying to go for Mercury, would it help if you were to wear an orange robe?
Yeah, you know, or throw something. That was another thing I even had. I didn't have too many of them. But you ever know, like when you go, do you ever see like when you go to church, they might have like their white robe on and then they'll have this other thing like over it and it might have all these other designs and colors. I had green and orange and some, and I think I might have had a red one that sometimes I would like throw those over the robes I was wearing too.
Very cool.
Yeah, now, almost, believe it or not, depending, like if I use the white robe and then I was using those other things, you'd probably be like, this dude looks like he's doing Catholic church in his house.
What I was thinking when you were describing it.
Especially with all the tools.
I was hoping you would more look like a Jedi, but.
Oh, with the black one. The black one and then the hood that I have. If I do wear that one does look pretty crazy. It's only your eyes and no mouthpiece. Yeah.
But
go ahead.
I was just thinking, you know, like I kind of, with the Jedis, I kind of associate that with like more of a pure, pure form of magic, I guess, but
I would say they're higher up on the tree, those ideas and what's going on.
And their garbs that they're wearing are all neutral colors. It looks like gunny sacks there is the black ones and the white ones for the higher ups. But you know, you would see them like just, it just reminds me of more spiritual, you know, like when you would think of the people that were walking with Jesus, that's the kind of clothes that they were wearing, you know?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah, for sure. What was I saying about that? Oh, now when it comes to the ritual, believe it or not, and I'll make this, I won't go into this too much, but it's something I just do want to point out. And again, knowing how the eyeball works and knowing how you're supposed to be clothed, like these rituals, again, the way that I'm using them or looking at them, they're coming from Libra. Oh, that is a book from Crowley. So it's more than likely these things are kind of geared towards the Astrum Ardentum or even, you know, the OTO to use. And he's already wearing his specific garb. But like when they show you how to make these certain gestures, even the pictures are somebody inside of an AA Astrum Ardentum robe, which will sometimes they'll have the hood on. But my opinion, I do think it's quite possible that, again, when you look at the eyeball, I'm saying that like, you're going to have to make one of your pupils twist in, you know, because there's a change in the human body. I think when stuff starts going on, the pupil is held open from the four cardinal directions. It is pulled open like a cross. Now, when you start to close and dilate and get smaller, your pupil actually twists closed, spins closed like a camera kind of lens, spin closed. I think what you're doing in a sense, especially if you're dressed in all black, especially with the robe on and with the hood on, you're in all black. You're destroying the gods at the four areas. And as you're turning, your pupil is literally closing as well. Because you think about it, when you want to start invoking, what are you doing? You're pulling in an energy or in a light or in a source. And when you pin your eyeball, it actually pulls more light in. So I think you're actually destroying the muscles or the gods or the energies at the four cardinal directions that pull your eyeball closed, and you are the pupil actually showing that you are spinning closed now. And then when you invoke, you're pulling in the light.
What the fuck is up, you sexy conspiracy junkies? Did you know that you get a discount on Organite? Well, you fucking do now. So do yourself a favor and head on over to organ-ite.com and get 15% off of that shit that the government has been trying to keep from you. Once again, that's Oregon, like the state-ite.com, and enter promo code RABBIT at checkout to get that discount. What are you waiting for? Did you know people have been killed trying to get this technology out to the public? Yeah. So quit being a bitch and head on over to Oregon-ite.com and get your energy up. And since I have your attention, how about giving White Rabbit a 5-star to keep this show in the algorithms so that Catalyst is able to keep bringing you these absolute bangers, bangers, bang, 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 bangers. All right, now let's get back to the fucking show.
I think there's actual eyeball symbolism in these rituals, as well as something else going on.
Well, the eyeball is crazy, the way you dove into it the last time you were on the show. And then not only that, but since you were on the show and mentioned that, and I made a clip about it and everything, but I started noticing it everywhere. And even, you know, just the one eye, the covering of the eye, it gives it a different meaning to me now.
Yo, imagine, like, again, like, that's how, remember, these people do are quite obvious sometimes with what they're getting at. And I think that's like, even once I started having magical experiences and started getting interested in the eye for some reason, I was like, it's like, it's almost like silly. It's like they're fucking showing, like, a fucking eyeball is constantly used in a triangle. Like, it's right there in my face telling me to look at the fucking eyeball. And I never once thought about it.
It's everywhere. It's
so blatant.
Did you watch the Super Bowl halftime show this year?
No, I didn't.
Actually. Man, I was really hoping that some people would. I posted on one of the group chats that I'm in, you know, I was like, oh shit, the Super Bowl halftime show is about to start. And there was just shit talk. So I was like, fuck, because I wanted somebody else like Isaac Weissop savvy-ish to be watching at the same time as me, you know, because I fucking was able to point out all kinds of shit while it was happening. And I'm glad that the so-called pros that break this shit down, I watched a lot of their videos and they hit a lot of the same things that I did. I need to start making more videos, man, because I see things that people aren't talking about in their videos. And that Super Bowl halftime show had more in it to me than any of them. There was so many things going on at play this year. It was fucking crazy. And I still haven't been able to break down all of it.
Yeah, normally when it comes to things like that, the only ones I've watched in the last few years is because, like, I got asked to cover it. But normally I haven't actually watched, like, anything like that in a minute. You know, like, even, like, the Olympics, I unfortunately had to watch because I got asked to cover it. You know, and then there was, like, some other when you remember that guy Sam something came out, like, old fucking, you know, acting all gay and shit. Yeah, I had to cover that because guy from Infinite Fringe, Billy Ray, asked me to cover it. It's like those, I only really seen any of them because I got asked to cover it. I normally haven't watched it.
Well, I found it very interesting that the ones that you just mentioned, the main theme, like the Weeknd, the one that you had just mentioned.
I did see that too. Yes, I did watch that too.
It was all black and red. You know, like for the past 4 years, I would say, I'd go out on a limb and say at least the past 3 years has been black and red.
Even Antifa.
And this year,
BLM.
It was red, white, and blue. Donald Trump was in attendance. The first time that a sitting president was in attendance at a Super Bowl, even though from what I watched, I only watched like from 5 minutes before halftime and then the rest, but they never even fucking put the camera on him. So, and I thought that was fucking weird, but
the halftime show
was like, it had, had Samuel L. Jackson playing Uncle Sam and Kendrick Lamar was the act, and it wasn't a bunch of people. It was fucking Kendrick Lamar. He had one girl come out for like a quarter of a song and then she went back, and it was orchestrated, bro. This fool is an artistic genius. He's a fucking genius. Kendrick Lamar is. And Davey Wavy from Red Pill dude, fuck you. Fuck you, dude. I love you to death, but fuck you. In this group chat, he's like, oh man, they'll just let any SoundCloud rapper have a fucking Super Bowl appearance these days. And I was like, nah, dude, fuck that. Like, I know you're super into heavy metal. How pissed off do you get when people are like, oh, anybody could just yell into a microphone? Yeah, so there you go, buddy. Like, yes. Break down what the fuck this guy did is incredible. First off, he called Drake a fucking pedophile and is getting sued, but live on air with millions of people watching, the biggest fucking TV event of the year, called Drake a pedophile, called out pedophiles in general. And it said game over at the end of it. He had PlayStation controller symbols on the stage that he was on, and he would walk to each symbol, and fucking the combination that he walked on the buttons is the cheat code on Grand Theft Auto for Invincible and Untouchable.
Yo.
Yeah. Yo. And, what else? It was seemingly a pro America thing, but it was also also how black entertainers, and you could just put this as entertainers in general, if you start to get out of line, Uncle Sam comes in and tells you, hey, you better play by the rules, because that kept happening. He would start to go in on some shit, and then Samuel L. would come in as Uncle Sam and be like, play by the rules, motherfucker. You don't know how to play the game. And, you know, like, so there was that message in there. And there was so much going on, bro. There was so much going on in that. It was the turning. It was like the fuck you and fall of the entertainment industry that we see right now. The bringing of a new one, even though he's part of the old and coming in with the new. But
Teresa did tell me there was actually multiple jabs at Drake. I think she said even somebody that was dancing or was in the performances, like it was an ex or something. I mean, it's accusations to him too.
So it there was the girl done. The girl that was singing was his ex.
Oh yeah. That's what, yeah. Teresa's a so
that was a big fuck like, you to Drake. Yeah.
I find that interesting because I wonder if they picked Drake purposely because he's Canadian. I wonder if that's like America's telling Canada to go fuck off.
I thought we were trying to absorb them.
That whole situation, not for nothing, but to come out and say, I'm just not going to give them money. So then they basically have to collapse to us. It's kind of fucked up, but you know, whatever.
I mean, you don't conquer other countries by being nice.
No, I know. But it's just like, well, I mean, so if they don't want to give in, we're just going to fuck them over until they say yes. That's just kind of fucked up too. You know what I'm getting at?
Nobody is putting this together. It's like Trump wants to be Napoleon, but without being Napoleon. He's like, we're going to expand territory. That means take over other people's fucking countries, bro. That's what that means.
When he started talking about the countries over in the United Kingdom, I'm like, yo, is this any different than World War II now?
No, it's not. It's silent.
I was like, yo, this is fucking crazy.
It is.
I mean, I try not to even get into it too much because I just.
I'm here for it, though. I'm fucking here for it. We live in the coolest fucking time ever, bro. Like, they're poisoning us more than they've ever poisoned us. But at the same time, they're being exposed from poisoning us. They have all this corruption going on, and it's not more corruption than ever. It's just being exposed more than ever. But at the same time, it's all being exposed so that they can usher in the new system that's going to fucking bend us over. And it's fucking beautiful, and I'm here for it.
I've thought that too. I'm like, yo, it's like... Is there any point in even getting upset? Because I'm like, this doesn't sound like the best, but I'm like, do we really have a fucking choice in the matter anyway? Because they're not asking us when they do these things.
We don't. And all these so-called wins, lately, they don't feel like wins to me. So there must be strings attached to them. I should be excited that RFK Jr. just got voted in yesterday, right? Because now we're going to get healthy food. Are we? I don't know. They're just going to repackage the lies.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, you saw USAID is no longer fucking able to do their scams now. Okay, cool. We're just going to package it under something else.
The one thing that I did I mean, you know, worries me, and I don't think it's going to go to this extent, but is a possibility. I do think that if RFK was to start deeming certain companies like you're putting out fucked up shit, there's certain laws. I don't know, you know, if there's certain things that have to be done, but like, I think the government can actually take over the company and say that they need to fix it.
Well, that's scary.
I really hope this isn't a reason to start doing that. And all of a sudden now all the food that we're being given that supposedly is healthier now is actually from the government.
Yeah, that's a scary fucking thing right there.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if we'll go in that direction, but I'm like, you could.
I'll tell you straight away if he's making a difference or not here within the next couple months, because where I work, we put shit tons of poison in people's food drinks. So yeah,
if nothing changes there, I know nothing's happening.
So, yeah, if nothing changes, nothing's changing. Shit, yeah. The shit that we put on there, like we have to wear gloves and masks and shit so we don't breathe it in and it doesn't get on our skin. And I'm like, why are we putting this in juice?
Yo, there was
a lot of shit says flammable. I'm like, I get it. You know, people drink alcohol, that's flammable. But like, this is juice. Why are we putting flammable shit in juice?
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, light up a cigarette after you took a fucking drink.
And you know, most of these smoothie drinks that people get are like, you know, like naked drinks and shit. And you think that it's like actual real fruit and blended up, and that's why it's thick. No, it's thick because they put this shit called Tickums in it.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's this powder. And then when it gets wet, it turns into this fucking gooey, slimy snot shit. And it has to mix. And it has to mix just perfectly or else it fucks up the entire batch. And that's what gives everything its thickness. It's not because you're drinking like blended fruits. Nope, you're drinking crap. Like,
yeah, you're actually tossing some sort of powder in there to give the thickness to it. Yep. I've seen that.
It sucks, man. It sucks finding out the truth because I already know everything that we eat is shit. But you know, some of these things you think are healthy for you and it's just as fucked, if not more fucked. So I say drink water and coffee, you know, stick to shit, you know, make your own tea. Like I don't even trust fucking tea brands. Lipton is a Jewish owned company. You know, it's goy slop in one way or another. that's what they call the shit that they feed us, bro. That it started with McDonald's. That's where.
I have a feeling we're eating some real shit food with that.
Boy slop. It's shit that they wouldn't eat themselves. It's not kosher, but they manufacture, make it, and make us eat it. Fucked up. I'm not trying to be anti-Semitic here in any way, shape, or form, but you know, if it walks like a duck, I'm calling it the fuck out. And I'm not saying it's your average everyday Jewish friend. You know, it's these top power hungry motherfuckers that just happen to be Jewish and happen to be doing this for a reason because they have an agenda at play here and they're trying to fulfill their own prophecies. And while they're doing it, fuck us because we're just goy. We're nothing to them. They have to kill us eventually. So
goes with the food, drugs.
Yeah. So might as well just start killing us slowly now, profiting off of it. And that's the world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe that evil person was onto something after all.
I think they were, unfortunately. Yeah.
You didn't hear it here first, folks. They've been trying to tell you for fucking ever.
Yo, they put the ingredients on the bag, for fuck's sakes.
And you know what's fucked up, though, is they'll say, oh, no, we don't do that anymore. And then they'll just change the name of something or they'll tweak the formula of it. So it's called something different, but still you're getting the same fucking poison. You know, I just had a heartbreak because I was not getting deodorants that had aluminum in it. We'll come to find out that the deodorants that don't have aluminum in it have this other ingredient that's added into it that's just as fucked up for you as putting the aluminum on your fucking body. So now I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to be a hippie and fucking douse myself with
patchouli oil so that nobody can smell my stank.
There you go. There you go. I didn't know that because I've done that before. So I guess I realized I'm basically buying the same shit.
That's yeah. Funny. And yeah, you'll have to look up and see what it is. I think I even heard, no, it wasn't Ryan Dean, but I heard another podcaster talk about it too. And I was like, oh, he saw the same video I saw probably. But yeah, man, I would check it out. I use Dr. Squatch and I thought it was good until now it's being sold in Walmart. So I'm suspicious.
Walmart.
It scares me, man. Anything that goes through Walmart it gets bought out by a bigger company to be able to be distributed at Walmart. That's just how it works. You think you're getting these little brands that are offshoot, but really it's like fucking Coca-Cola bought out that company that you think is organic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's just how the game is played, brother. But so, I mean, maybe you can do a magic spell to where we're not eating fucked up shit anymore. I don't even think we have ever eaten real food, honestly, like unless we've killed it and eaten it, because cows are not natural. They've actually been bred for us to slaughter.
Yeah.
It's not a natural animal. I saw a video that blew me away the other day. The guy's like, you've never had a real banana. And
ever see what those things look like?
Yeah. And they're like they look like little fucking testicles, a real banana.
Yeah. They're a lot bigger too.
Yeah. No, no. They look like they're like this, not like shafts.
Yeah. Don't they even have like huge seeds in them actually too? Like in the middle?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And they have huge seeds. And then a banana is more like a plantain than an actual banana.
Yes.
And plantains are fucking bomb as fuck fried with a little bit of sugar on them. Brown sugar.
Oh man, I wish I could make those now.
Dude, they are so good. Or drizzle a little bit of maple syrup on top of it. Yeah, that's baller.
I'm going to make something like this weekend if I can.
Hell yeah, brother. You can eat hella good and healthy at the same time.
Yeah.
Replace that plantain with maple syrup over your nightly ice cream or whatever it is, you know?
Oh, yeah. That would definitely be a better choice than the ice cream.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you coming on and casting a magic spell over everybody. Everybody make sure that you say your prayers and get rid of whatever put over us. No, I'm just playing.
Yes. Yeah, it's just the banishing rituals, but thank you very much. I thought that just thought it might be interesting for people to even understand like what goes on, like, you know, again and again, that would be something that would probably be used by most secret societies and orders, you know, especially the OTO, the Golden Dawn. And I even do think eventually when the Freemasons screw around with that. And just real quick, it is also thought that the original pentagram ritual might have been influenced by Elvis Levi.
So. Really?
Yeah, just throw that out there too.
Hey, are we in Mercury retrograde right now or some shit? Because this is not a joke, bro. I have had two exes hit me up in the past 2 days. And I'm like, why in the fuck is this on my phone right now?
When is Mercury? I don't know. We could be. I've been so busy lately. I haven't really been able to like look at much stuff, but. Normally what it is, you will see people in the occult community using it as an excuse for everything. I haven't noticed anything about Mercury retrograde. I don't think we're in one now.
Yeah, no, maybe it's just because I put out that I was accepting applications. Some old employees realized that they wanted their job back.
You're old employees.
Oh, man. All right, brother, where can everybody go find your amazing work?
Oh yeah, the Occult Rejects, that is on BitChute, Rumble, YouTube, and all major podcasts. And we do have occultresearchinstitute.org. go check that out. A bunch of different contributors, a bunch of different stuff on there, different topics, a lot of informational stuff if you don't mind reading. It's very a lot of reading if you want to check that site out. Just letting you know now. But yeah,
but you guys do talk about them as well, right?
Yeah, there is a lot of things that are on the site that actually is stuff that we've copied, we've covered. Like some of it, believe it or not, is our on certain books or people, specific people. It literally is like the notes that we used from the show. And
oh, nice.
Written out on the site now. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
There's video of some people. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff like when it comes to like certain books or occultists from the past, that's all reading. Basically, me and Lisa pretty much wrote all that shit out.
I can't read anymore, bro. Like, I just can't because I don't have time. And I tried to make it a point to read at least a half an hour before bed every night, but I'm wiping myself out to the point where I don't even get past the first page and I'm already sleeping. So I just quit trying. So now if somebody wants me to read something, it's got to be audio, man. And it has, so I can listen to it at double speed.
Yeah, halfway there with an audiobook.
Yeah, that's awesome, bro. Really?
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Oh, well, I mean, that would be a fun job. I think if I could read shit out loud and be a voice for an audiobook, I don't know if people, well, shit, I have a podcast and people listen to me, so maybe. But anyways, brother, thank you for coming on. That was very interesting. And I still have no idea what it is that you just did, but it was fucking awesome. And you guys, you guys that are just listening, go check this out on Rockfin. And it'll make a lot more sense because he is Italian and did a lot of hand movements. I'm not sure if you really are Italian, but I'm just assuming.
Yeah, I did do a lot of the movements so people could go see whatever, you know, what I'm doing visually. So go check that out.
Yes, and you're doing yourself a disservice if not. And brother, I am going to shoot this over to you so you could have this out on your end as well. Yeah. And yes, like I said, man, whenever you have anything like this, definitely come over here and practice your workout on the White Rabbit. I love it. I love it. And we're gonna see a lot more of you over here at White Rabbit because you and I have talked about we got a monthly thing going on. And I'll announce that when we're ready to announce that. And I'm looking forward to that, brother. So guys, go ahead right now. If you have not already, please hit that 5-star button. Share this with your friends. Give me likes because that's the way that it keeps us in the algorithm. I just switched over from my distribution, whatever those things are called. So I'm on one platform right now. And I think that you guys need to give me likes in order to get me back in the algorithms once again. So please do that right now. If you're not, also scroll down right now. And if you see that thing that says Everything Occult Rejects, that's where you're going to see all of his links right there. So you can go follow everything that Nick is doing right there. Easy. Just click it right there. You're looking at it. Just click it. Thank you. Click it. There we go. Now, we are going to have a lot of announcements coming out on the next episode, and I cannot wait. I might have teased a little bit of them here and there on this episode, so just stay tuned for that, and we're going to end this the way that we always do. Keep digging down those rabbit holes.
Celebrity clones walking dead in the streets. Truth is hidden, gotta question what you see. White Rabbit Podcast, dig deep, crack the code. Everything we know, just a house of false load. Unlock the secrets buried underneath. Set your mind free, don't accept what's in the sheath. On a string, Catalyst exposes every shadow king. Flat earth or not, there's a bigger play. White Rabbit Podcast takes the lies away. Breaking.
Bam.
That was great. I did record the audio on my end.